In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Happy Trinity Sunday. This is one of our high holy feasts. It's another one that the world hasn't commercialized yet. It's still ours. There's no, Trinity Sunday mattress sales or anything like that. But it is a holy feast. That's why we're in white. But it's a tricky one. The great English theologian John Wesley said of the Trinity, he said, "Bring me a worm that can comprehend a man, and I will show you a man that can comprehend the triune God." And that's what I'm to preach on today. So let's dive in. The thing with the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as with everything with God, we simply cannot fully comprehend it. We cannot wrap our brains around what it means. We can use our wildest imaginations, but this God, our God, is so immense, so transcendent, that we cannot fully comprehend it. And even if we get a little glimpse of what the truth is, we get some pieces of understanding of what the truth of who God is and what the nature of the Trinity is, then we become even more limited when we try to use words to explain it, because we have this limited language. And so we are trying to explain something that is a mystery. So we use images. We have, since for 2,000 years, we've been trying to explain the Trinity, and we use images. Three in one, and one in three. Even Father, Son, Holy Spirit, these are images that we use to try to explain it. St. Patrick tried to use the shamrock with the three parts to explain the Trinity. Some people have used the image of an egg with the shell and the yolk and the white to try and explain the Trinity in the three parts. Or sunshine, the sun and the warmth and the heat and the light beams. Or even solid liquid gas. But all of these ways of explaining it, while they're helpful, they all fall short for various theological reasons that I won't go into. But it keeps theologians off the streets and gives them something to work on. But none of these can fully explain the essence of the Trinity. It is a mystery. And I'm okay with that. It is a beautiful, holy mystery that we can simply live into and appreciate. It is ultimately futile to try and explain the Holy Trinity. But what I find is the important piece of this is the mere fact that we talk about God in terms of a Trinity. It says to me that the essence of who God is not singular, but that God is relationship. There is a phrase that is so powerful and yet so tragically overused. It is on bumper stickers and bracelets and t-shirts, and that is that God is what?
Love.
God is love. We see it everywhere, so that it almost becomes trite. But that is some powerful stuff there, that God is love. God is so much love that it cannot be contained in a single person. That love flows between the three persons of the Trinity, to and from and beyond. That's how much love God is. Former presiding bishop Frank Griswold, he said that when we pray, all we are doing is simply entering into the divine, eternal conversation that is going on in the triune Godhead. We are listening in, we are speaking into this eternal conversation that is going on. God, the triune God, is love. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he uses a phrase that, when I was reading it, kept tripping me up. And that is this idea of the spirit of adoption. And when I'm working on a text, if something sort of trips me up, that's usually something that I need to pay attention to. And so I did. So the first thing I did was I looked up where the word adoption comes from. What does adopt mean and where does it come from? I'm kind of a word nerd that way, and I like to know where words come from. So this the word adopt comes from an old French word that means it's sort of a spirit of intentionally choosing something instead of being given something. That's what it means to adopt. But adoption, adopting a child, being adopted, I didn't know how I could speak to that. It's not a part of my experience, really. I know a lot of people who have been adopted or who have adopted others, but I think it's a very particular human experience that I had not been a part of. I know lots of people who have, but I hadn't. And so I didn't quite know how I was going to grapple with that. So I Googled it. And so I came up with all sorts of, you know, quotes and stories and things like that. And then as I was thinking about it, I remembered a story from a friend of mine who, she and her husband were childless for many, many years. And then they secured an adoption of a baby girl in Russia. And so they traveled to Russia to pick up their baby girl, and they were so excited. And they got there, and they found out that that baby girl had two sisters. And they couldn't leave them behind, and so they came back with not a baby, just a baby, but a baby and two toddlers. All of a sudden, they were this very large family. And I remember a conversation that I had with her as she was relating this story to me, and I said, what did that feel like? What was that like to come home and just suddenly be a family? And she said, it felt like we were always family. It just took us a while to find each other. And so I was still praying about this idea of adoption. What did Paul mean about the spirit of adoption? Because God couldn't be adopting us. We are all God's children. We've all grown up with that knowledge. We've talked about that, and we believe that we are all God's children, right? So what is it about God adopting us? And that's when Google came in handy. I remembered a quote that I came across that said, adoption is not about finding kids for parents. It's about finding parents for children. It isn't God that's adopting us because we did something right or we've been a good person. The spirit of adoption that Paul is talking about is our choice. It is our adopting God. Choosing, making that intentional claim to the title child of God. Choosing to claim that title, choosing to live according to the spirit and not to the flesh, choosing to then confess when we have fallen short of living in the spirit and not according to the flesh, choosing, intentionally choosing to enter into that loving relationship that is the triune God. Choosing to claim the title. You are a child of God, and we must choose to claim that title and all of the rights and privileges and responsibilities therein. The responsibility is to look at every other single human being on the planet as your brother or sister. And that includes the young Muslim man who is so angry because he feels he has no say in his future, and so he joins a jihadist group. That's your brother. It includes the young girl who is sold into unspeakable slavery. That is your sister. It includes the victims of shootings. They are your brothers and sisters. And so is the shooter. It's very hard to be a child of God. Paul said that we would suffer with Christ. But we are made in the image of a relational God. We live into that by being in relationship with each other. We must recognize our kinship with one another. We are the holy family of God. That God that is relationship. That God that is love. We have to claim that, and we have to help others do the same. And it's like my friend said, we've always been family. Sometimes it just takes time to find each other. Amen.